And your Bibles, I hope you'll find 2 Corinthians 1 verse, one sentence, the last verse of chapter 9. The text that I have reflected on for many years, and often on Christmas Eve I have read this passage, but it's so much more than just one passage for one season. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 15, hear the word of the Lord. Paul wrote, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Thanks be to God, the doxology of praise offered by the Apostle Paul. As Paul considered that gift, the gift that God had given through the person of Jesus Christ, he simply said it's an indescribable gift. And he bursts into this exaltation, this doxology, as he wrote to those in Corinth, thanksgiving be to God. An indescribable gift. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave. Paul wrote in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. In Ephesians 2:8, Paul said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The gift. The children were helping me think about a gift. We know that this gift is the gift of salvation. A gift of salvation provided through Jesus Christ. A gift that finds its very source in the wonderful, marvelous grace of God. How can I seek to describe something that the Apostle Paul himself said is indescribable? Paul, who knew Jesus, who met Jesus on that road to Damascus, Paul, who wrote these great letters to all of these churches, this missionary, pastor, teacher, says, "Thanks be to God for a gift that is indescribable." Who am I to attempt to do what Paul said couldn't be done? Well, let me try. I think the Bible does describe this gift. It's first a gift indescribable that is unmerited. Unmerited. Unmerited is one of the most frequently, clearly stated, biblically based, historically grounded principle in all of Christianity. Unmerited. God's gift, unmerited. And yet it's also so misunderstood. God's unmerited gift of grace. So many seem unwilling to receive the gift of Christ. And when we ask them, why would you not receive this gift that is unmerited given to you? They would say, "Because I know me. And I'm just not good enough to receive this gift. I am undeserving. I know myself. I know who I am and I know what I'm about. I am undeserving of the gift of God's grace." Jesus Christ, God in flesh, he could not, he would not ever accept me. Well, Jesus made his way through Samaria and stopped at a well for water and offered that woman living water. Jesus, as we looked at that during Lent, the woman came and washed his feet with her hair and anointed his feet, and he gives special praise to her. She was well known. Jesus seemed to find some of the greatest joy in all of his life in ministry when he was surrounded by sinners and outcasts. I mean, look at the 12 that he hung around, those apostles. That Jesus could never accept you? There's not a person here today. There's not a person here today that God does not love and that God does not desire for you to have that gift of salvation, the gift of a personal relationship, the gift of his unconditional love. But I don't deserve his love. That's why I'm here. I don't deserve that love, and you know what? You're right. You don't deserve God's love, and neither do I. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It comes to us because we don't deserve it. It is indescribable, and it is unmerited. We do not deserve it. We do not merit it. It is so indescribable and unmerited, and it's also unparalleled. It's unparalleled. The gift of salvation in Jesus Christ has no counterpart, has no equal in all of history. What other religion has a living God? What other religion has a seeking God? Jesus died. We know that. We celebrate that. We remember that death throughout Passion, the event, and Holy Week. But we also know that resurrection morning came and the angels proclaimed, he's not here. Why are you looking? He is living. He is alive. We serve a living Savior. That's unparalleled, and it's an unparalleled gift. But he's also a seeking Savior. Our God, a seeking God. Think about the other religions of the world. I don't want to speak disparagingly about them. Think about it. Those gods. In the Quran, followers of Muhammad are urgently encouraged to make a pilgrimage at least once in their lifetime to go to Mecca in order that they might find God. Buddhists are encouraged to withdraw from life and meditate upon their souls that they might find God. Confucians and Baptist fundamentalists seek to find God through this high moral, holier-than-thou, judgmental attitude, for if you do that, then you will truly find God. But the Bible pictures the God who searches for us, who seeks us out, the God who comes to us in the form of Jesus Christ and that person of the Holy Spirit who confronts us, longing to be with us and share his love with us. My God, as revealed in Jesus Christ, is the God who seeks after all humanity. No other religion has that. No other religion has a living God who longs to meet you in your daily life. Think of the parables that Jesus told. So many of them have a God that seeks. The parable of the woman who lost the coin and she sought after the coin. The sheep that were lost and the shepherd sought, looking for that one sheep, and the son who left. The father longingly sought after him. Is there any wonder? Is there any wonder the Apostle Paul could lift his voice and say, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift, the gift of Jesus Christ. It's unlike any other gift that we ever receive. It is unmerited. It is unparalleled. It's also uncontainable, I think. When this gift, this indescribable gift, gets a hold of us, when we take a hold of it, we can't hold it in. Andrew, when he experienced Jesus, when he received that gift, he immediately ran, and he couldn't hold it in. He ran to his brother Simon, and he said, let me tell you about this one named Jesus. He couldn't keep it to himself. The woman I talked to, the Samaritan woman, she didn't stay at the well. She even left her water pot vessel at the well. She runs into the city and she begins to spread the word. This man, this Messiah, he told me everything I did. Come and see. Come and see. The man was blind from birth. Jesus restored his sight. He goes before the city leaders who began to say that. that couldn't have happened. Surely you could see a little bit. This man said, I don't know. I don't know what happened, but this one thing I know, I once was blind, and now I see, and Jesus did this for me. The apostles Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin. We're threatened that you will keep silent. You will not lift your voice. You will not cause chaos in this city. You will not, or you will be in prison. You will be beaten. You will, and they said, we cannot keep silent. We must say what we have heard, what we have seen, what we have experienced. Once you receive this indescribable gift, when this gift, but this gift becomes part of you, you cannot keep it to yourself. It is uncontainable. And yes, it's an unending gift as well. The gift of Jesus Christ, God's gift, it's not only for this day. It's not only for this life. It's for eternity. A little boy was talking to his granddad, and he said, Pops, how old are you? And granddad said, well, I'm 66. And the boy said, wow, 66 and still alive. Sarah, 96 and still alive. Well, it's something like that. The message of God's word. It's those who accepted the gift, the indescribable gift, will never die. Wow, still alive when you're 66 or 96, or in Lufkin 126, because Lufkinites live really long. Oh, we know the body will perish. This old body will perish. But we receive a gift in Jesus Christ that will never die. The gift of salvation is eternal. That's indescribable. It is eternal, everlasting, that carries us right into the very presence of God through Christ. What an indescribable gift. This week, my uncle passed away, 96 years old. I'll leave this afternoon and go officiate his funeral service tomorrow in Vernon. The reality hit me that he's the last uncle or aunt on either side of my parents, the last one. My mother had four siblings. My dad had this one brother. And now they're all gone, and their spouses, and my parents. Tomorrow afternoon, I will stand in the cemetery after the funeral, and there around me at Post Oak Cemetery will be my parents' grave, right next to my aunt and my uncle who we will bury, and my other aunt, my uncle, and my grandmother, and my cousin, and my niece. If I drove just 3 blocks across town, there would be my other grandparents and great-grandparents and 2 more sets of aunt and uncles. I've officiated, I've spoken at the funeral, 7 of the 10. In Vernon County, I could go to the Shady Grove Cemetery or the Fairland Cemetery, and there would be great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents and all my family, all of them, for generations, are in buried in Vernon County. And tomorrow, I would bury the last of that generation. I told my cousins and my siblings, oops, we're next. That's to happen. But I will speak tomorrow not as one with no hope. For though I did not know great grandparents and some of those great aunts and uncles, the ones that I knew received this gift. Not because they were good, not because their parents forced them to receive this gift, they couldn't. They received this gift of grace, this indescribable, unmerited, unparalleled, uncontrollable, uncontainable, unending gift. Indescribable and unending. You know, 2 Corinthians, if you were to read all the books, the very interesting letter that Paul wrote. Chapter 8 is all about giving. It's about financial giving. Paul's telling the church at Corinth, hey, church, you promised you're going to give some money to those in Jerusalem. Titus is coming to have the money ready. The Macedonians have really gone above and beyond what we thought they could. You, Corinthians, you should rise up. You have more than they do. Rise up and be faithful. Chapter 9, Paul continues that same thought on their giving. It's chapter 9 that has that passage where God loves a cheerful giver. And Paul said, be cheerful, Corinthians, and get your pocket. But the financial giving for Paul was always secondary. It all began with God's gift. That great, indescribable gift of God through Jesus Christ. Unmerited, yes. Unparalleled, uncontainable, unending, so unending that neither death nor life nor angels nor things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor anything, nothing can separate us from that gift. Once you have the gift, it's yours. But first, you have to take the gift. I believe that the gift of eternal life, the gift indescribable, the gift of salvation, it's available for every single person. Whether it has to be you paper wrapped or not, the gift of God is for all. Have you taken it? See, I can't force it on you. I would like to at times. I would like for every person to know and to have and to experience this gift that I received as a 9-year-old boy, but I can't do it. That's not how God does it either. God does not force his gift of life and salvation on anyone, but it's available. If you received it, it's indescribable. Look at the cover of your bulletin. Look at the screen. That beautiful gift is nothing. Nothing compared to the gift of God through Jesus Christ. Indescribable. Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Well, God, we do thank you for this gift that we can't even describe. It is unmerited. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. It's unparalleled to any other religion. You seek after us, a living God. Once we have the gift, God, we just can't hold it in. We've got to tell others because it changes who we are. And oh, God, thank you that it is unending. It never ends all the way through eternity, the gift brings us right up to you. But we must trust you. The only way we get the gift is only by trusting in you. We can leave here today knowing that we have the gift. The assurance that gift is ours. You don't give it, take it away. You give it, take it away. Once we have it, we have it. But we have to receive it. This day, if anyone is not receiving the gift, may this be the day where they say, oh, God, give me that gift. It is our prayer.